بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد فقد روي في الخبر عن الصادق الأبري عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام He short hadith of رسول الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم which we'll discuss in brief inshallah Here Nabi Karim Sam gives us very pertinent advice that a sensible person is that person who subjugates his carnal desires to deen. In others, he suppresses his carnal desires and follows the dictates of Sharia. He follows that which Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed him to. وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ And at the same time, he always has in mind that one day he has to leave this world and he carries out such amal and deeds that will benefit him in the life hereafter. In other words, he deposits for the akhirat. A similar subject matter has been mentioned in the Quran too, the importance of remaining conscious of the fact that one day we have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that we must subjugate our carnal desires to the dictates of deen, where Allah ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ Okay, as for that person who fears retribution, fears standing for accountability in front of his creator, in front of his cherisher, nourisher, and he restrains his carnal self from carrying out his desires, then فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ The abode for such a person in the akhirat will be Jannat. So this is very, very important that we always remain conscious that one day we have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is an eternal life. This is a temporary life. A sensible person will restrain his carnal desires and prepare for the everlasting life of the year after so that he can see and enjoy eternal success in the year after. And as I mentioned last week in the Majlis, that one of the most effective ways that a person can come onto the line of Shariat, can become a practicing Muslim, is to make a bit of sacrifice the comforts of one's home, and go in the company of pious personalities, spend some time with them, learn from them, derive spiritual nourishment from them. So, the easiest way basically is change of mahal, change of environment. Come out of the home environment where there are many distractions and go to an environment that is more conducive towards spiritual development and spiritual progress. And that environment is to spend some time in the company of the pious. One other effective way is to go out in the path of Allah. The Ijtima also is coming soon. We need to worry, have concern about that, prepare for that, and make fikr for the success of the Ijtima. So when a person goes out in the path of Allah, in Jamaat for Tabligh, he is virtually 24 hours in the company of pious people, traveling with righteous people. He will go to various towns, various cities, various villages, localities. When he goes to the various towns, cities, localities, villages, there too he will encounter pious people of the locality. So there too he should go and spend some time in their company, take their du'as and hope for their blessings, that they bless us and they pray and make du'a for us. So in this way, if a person goes in the path of Allah, yet too there is a change of environment. He has sacrificed the comforts of his home, went out in the path of Allah. And there are many, many, many incidents to prove that when a person changes his environment, he comes away from such an environment that distracts him from the remembrance of Allah and comes towards a more ideal and conducive environment, then Allah Ta'ala brings about a change in that person's life. Whether a person spends 4 months, 40 days, 3 days, a few hours in the path of Allah or in the company of the pious, definitely he will see some form of change or the other. Proof of this is found in the hadith. A person by the name of Thumama bin Uthal, that in the earlier stages one was not a Muslim, later he became a Muslim, so we can say, radiallahu ta'ala an, Prior to his accepting Islam, once Nabi Karim Sam dispatched some Sahaba on a scouting mission to study the weaknesses of the enemy. So when they went out on a scouting mission, they encountered this person, Thumama bin Uthal, somewhere in the desert, and they knew that he was a member of the enemy forces, so they captured him and made him a prisoner of war. They brought him to Medina Munawwara. In those days, there were no cells and jails like we have today to lock up a prisoner of war. In those days, other methods used to be deployed. So when he was brought to Medina Munawwara, being a prisoner, he could escape. So with the command and permission of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَرَبَطُوهُ بِسَارِيَةِ الْمَسْجِدِ The Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in tied him to one of the pillars of Masjid al-Nabawi with ropes or with chains so he cannot escape. So there was no jail or cell. This was his prison. He was tied to one of the pillars of Masjid al-Nabawi. So when he was tied there, the next morning when Nabi Karim Sam emerged from his home for Fajr Salah, Nabi Karim Sam passed by the Thumama bin Uthal, and Nabi Karim Sam asked him, that ma indaka ya Thumama, that what is your opinion about me? You have seen this environment, this mahal of Masjid al-Nabawi. What opinion do you hold with regard to me? So he replied, in the al-khayr ya Muhammad, I only have good feelings about you, that I know you will not torture me, you will not abuse me, you will show kindness to me. And then he said to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in taqtul taqtul dha damin, wa in tun'im tun'im ala shakir, wa in kunta turidul mal, fasal minhu ma shita. He said to Nabi Karim Sam as a prisoner, that if you execute me, if you kill me, then you have the full right to do so, because I have shed the blood of your people, I am a prisoner of war, you have the full right to kill me. But on the other hand, if you show kindness upon me, and you let me go free, then I shall be forever grateful to you. And then he also said to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that in exchange for my freedom, if you require some wealth, some worldly assets, then speak, I shall give you whatever wealth you require. Nabi Karim Sam did not reply, Fatarakau. Nabi Sam left him there at the pillar, tied up. That whole day passed. The next morning, again Nabi Karim Sam came past Thumama bin Uthal and asked the same question, Ma indaka ya Thumama, what opinion do you have about me? So again he said, that I have only good thoughts about you, that if you kill me, you have the full right to kill me. If you show kindness by setting me free, then I shall be grateful to you. The third day again, the same conversation took place. But on the third day, then Nabi Karim Sam set him free. He said to the Sahaba, that set him free. So he was untied and set free. So he had the opportunity to return to Makkatul Mukarrama, to return to his people, return to his ways of kufr. But the 3 days that he spent in this mahal, in this environment of Masjid al-Nabawi, and he saw the amal of Masjid al-Nabawi, he saw the akhlaq, the character of Nabi Karim Sa'azim and the Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, this was sufficient to give him a total new direction in life. When he was untied, instead of fleeing from there, he went immediately to a clump of palm trees, and behind the palm trees, he managed to get some water. He took ghusl, he took a bath, and then he came to Nabi Karim Sa'azim and recited the Shahada, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So 3 days spending in this environment. If a person spends even 3 days in the path of Allah, 3 days in the company of a pious person, definitely some change will come upon him. Look at this amazing transformation. A person who was doomed to go into the fire of Jahannam in that condition of being a mushrik, a kafir, if he had to die in that condition, just spending 3 days in this amazing environment transformed his whole life. He became a Muslim and he became a Sahabi who was always blessed with the dua that radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that may Allah ta'ala be pleased with him. When he was released and he recited the Shahada, then he came in front of Nabi Karim Sa'azim and he made a confession that, Ya Rasulullah, Ma kana ala al-ardi wajhun abghadha ilayya min wajhika, faqad asbaha wajhuka ahabbal wujuhi ilayya. He said, O Nabi of Allah, O Rasul of Allah, on the entire earth, there was no person that was more hated to me than yourself, when I was a kafir and mushrik. But now that I have turned towards Islam, become a Muslim, your beloved countenance, your beloved face and personality is the most beloved personality to me in the entire world. And then he further said that, Makana al-ardi dinun abghada ilayya min dinika. In the entire world there was no religion that was more hated in my sight than your religion of Islam. Wa asbaha dinuka ahabba al-adyani ilayya. And now your deen, your religion of Islam has become the most beloved deen to me. And he also said, Wa makana al-ardi baladun abghada ilayya min baladika. Wa asbaha baladuka ahabba al-biladi ilayya. That there was no city more hated by me than your city of Madinah Munawwara, but now your city of Madinah Munawwara has become the most beloved city to me. So what an amazing transformation. Thereafter he said to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when your sahaba captured me, I was on my way to perform umrah. So what is your advice in this regard? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, go ahead and complete your umrah, go to Makkatul Mukarramah. When he was going towards Makkatul Mukarramah, before he could reach Makkah, the mushrikeen of Makkah already got the information and news that Thumama bin Uthal had now become, radiyallahu ta'ala, he had become a sahabi. So they said to him, Sabauta, that you have turned away from the religion of your forefathers. So he replied that, no, I have merely come onto the true religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. And then he said to the people of Makkah, he was a wealthy person in his area from the tribe of Banu Hanifa. And every year a lot of grain, wheat grain used to come from his area to the bazaars and the marketplace of Makkatul Mukarramah. So he said to the people, if you will continue to show enmity for the Rasul of Allah, then I will place an embargo on the wheat supply that comes from my locality. It will no longer come to Makkatul Mukarramah. So this incident illustrates that what a great benefit change of environment makes in a person's life. A few days spent in that environment of Masjid al-Nabawi, where the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain were at all times engaged in tilawat of the Quran, performing salah, in other activities of ibadat, and their compassion, their kindness, their character impressed Thumama bin Uthal radiallahu ta'ala to such an extent that 3 days were sufficient for him to enter the fold of Islam. Many other kuffar also saw the beautiful character and the nature of the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu majmain. When the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah took place, then a spokesman of the kuffar mushrikeen was a man by the name of Urwa bin Mas'ud Thaqafi. When negotiations were taking place with regard to the conditions for the peace treaty, and he came to speak to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the field of Hudaybiyah on the outskirts of Makkatul Mukarramah, and then he says that I monitored closely the attitude that the Sahaba had towards Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the honor and the respect they had for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I was totally amazed and totally blown away. He himself mentions about how much honor the Sahaba bestowed upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that ma tanakhama nukhamatan illa waqad fi kaffi rajulin minhum fadalaka biha wajhahu wa jildahu. He says, when I monitored the Sahaba closely, I noticed that even if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to spit, then the saliva would not be allowed by the Sahaba to fall onto the ground. They would grab the saliva in the hands and rub it on their faces, rub it on their skin, in order to get the barakat of the pak and clean saliva of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he further says, إِذَا أَمَرَهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ ابْتَدَرُوا أَمْرَهُ. When Nabi Sallam used to issue any instruction, immediately the Sahaba would put that instruction into place, into action. He further says, وَإِن تَوَضَّى فَكَادُوا يَقْتَتِلُونَ عَلَى وَضُوءِهِ. That if Nabi Sallam had to make wudu, and the drops of wudu, water that used to fall from the limbs of wudu, the Sahaba would not allow those drops to even touch the ground. They would catch hold of the drops of the wudu that were dripping from the limbs of Nabi Sallam and they would rub that also over their bodies. In fact, they used to fall over one another as if fighting with one another to be first to get the drops of water of the wudu of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he further says that إِذَا تَكَلَّمَ خَفَضُوا أَصْوَاتُهُمْ عِنْدَهُ. When Nabi Sallallahu used to speak, then the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in would lower their voices in front of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would not raise their voices. And then he says, وَلَا يُحِدُّونَ النَّظْرَ إِلَيْهِ تَعْظِيمًا لَهُ. They would not look at Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam with wide eyes. They would lower their gazes out of respect of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Urwa bin Mas'ud Thaqafi then says, he went to his people and he reported all this that he had seen, that impressed him a great deal. He went to his people, to the kuffar, and he said to him, وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ وَفَدْتُ مُلُوكَ الدُّنْيَا. That by Allah, I have went in delegations to many great kings of the world. He said, لَقَدْ وَفَدْتُ الْقَيْسَرَ وَالْكِسْرَ وَالنَّجَاشِيَ. I have went in a delegation to Julius Caesar of Rome, to the Khosrow of Persia, to Negus of Abyssinia. But he says, I went to all these great kings. وَمَا رَأَيْتُ مَلِكًا يُعَظِّمُهُ أَصْحَابُهُ كَمَا يُعَظِّبُ أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ مُحَمَّدًا. I have not seen any king of the world, no matter how great the king may be, I have not noticed any king that his subjects show such honor and respect to that king as I have seen the Sahaba showing respect for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this impressed him a great deal, that on this occasion he saw the tremendous amount of respect that the Sahaba had for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala on one occasion saw the muhabbat and the love that the Sahaba had for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam when a Sahabi by the name of Zaid bin Dathina radiallahu ta'ala was brought to the gallows, a Muslim. He was imprisoned by the kuffar, about to be executed. Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, who at that point of time was not yet a Muslim, he questioned Zaid bin Dathina. He posed a question to him, that أَتُحِبُّ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا الْآنَ فِي مَكَانِكَ نَضْرِبُ عُنُقَهُ وَأَنْتَ جَالِسٌ فِي أَهْلِكَ. That would you desire that at this point of time, in your place, we capture your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we behead Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and allow you to go scot-free? Will you be prepared for that? So he replied, La uhibbu anna Muhammadan al-an fi makanihi alladhi wa fi tusibu shawkatun wa ana jalisun fi hali. That I cannot even tolerate this much. That wherever my Nabi is sitting at this moment, I cannot even bear a thorn to prick the skin of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam while I sit in the comfort of my home. When Abu Sufyan heard this, he had to concede and he said, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا يُحِبُّ أَحَدًا كَحُبِّ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ مُحَمَّدًا. I have not seen anyone portray such love for another person like the Sahaba portrayed love for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Sahaba portrayed the respect for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they portrayed the love for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was because of the suhbat and because of the companionship that the Sahaba attained such status and such a rank that, as I mentioned last week, that in the hadith Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to this effect, that if an ordinary person were to spend a mountain full of gold, gold equivalent to Mount Uhud in the path of Allah, a non-Sahabi ordinary person, and on the other hand, a Sahabi spends merely a handful of grain in the path of Allah, then that handful of grain will be more acceptable in the court of Allah than that entire mountain of gold. So how did the Sahaba attain the status? By sitting in the company of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The poet says very nicely that أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلَّ اللَّهِ يَرْزُقُنِي صَلَاحًا. That I have love for the pious people, even though I myself may not be pious, but I sit in the company in the hope, in the aspiration, that Allah on the day of Qiyamah will raise me with the pious people. And when you go to a locality, this also I mentioned, jamaats go from one town to the other. One dua that we are taught, that this dua should be made when you go to any new town, village or locality, that Allahumma habibna ila salihi ahliha, wa habib salihi ahliha ilayna. O Allah, make me beloved to the pious people of this locality, and at the same time, O Allah, make them beloved to us as well. Make us beloved to them and them beloved to us, so that the affinity and closeness can be created for the pious people. Because these were those pious people that were totally diligent, observant of their deen, we can also learn to emulate them. A pious person by the name of Muhammad bin Salima, which I mentioned in my previous majlis too, a student of Imam Abu Yusuf and Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi, who were in turn the students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, he was so punctual with his salawat jamaat congregation that on one occasion he missed his salawat jamaat due to some excuse, due to some miscalculation of the time. And he had so much regret and sorrow at missing the namaz with jamaat. Although he could perform it individually, but he was habitual of performing salah daily with jamaat. When he missed his namaz with jamaat, he became extremely filled with sorrow and grief. But because he was an alim too, the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was before him, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Salatul mar'i ma'al jama'ati tafdulu ala salati wahdahu bi sab'i wa ishina juz'an, aw kama qala li salatu salam, that when a person performs salah with jama'at, then that salah is more superior than the salah performed individually, 27 times more superior. So because the hadith was known to him, when he missed that asr salah with jama'at, he repeated that asr salah 27 times, just to attain that reward of performing the salah with jama'ah. But that night when he went to sleep, he saw in a dream someone telling him that, Ya Muhammad ibn Salimata, kaifa bi ta'min al-malaika? That, O Muhammad bin Salima, you may have repeated the salah 27 times, but in spite of that you could not attain the virtue of saying Ameen behind the imam. This was referring to also a hadith of Nabi Karim Sa'asim, that Nabi Sa'asim says, إِذَا قَالَ الْإِمَامِ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلِيمَ وَلَضَّالِينَ فَقُولُوا Ameen. That when the imam says in salah waladdalin, and he says Ameen, then you too also say Ameen. Then Nabi Sa'asim says, that you say Ameen because at that point of time, the malaika that are in the masjid, the farishtas of rahmat, they too say Ameen when they hear the imam saying waladdalin. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, فَمَنْ وَافَقَ تَعْمِينُهُ تَعْمِينَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ. That if a person's Ameen behind the imam corresponds and coincides with the Ameen uttered by the malaika in the masjid, then this person's sins will be forgiven. So he was reminded in his dream that even though you repeated that salah 27 times, but you have missed out on this virtue of saying Ameen behind the imam, so that that Ameen can correspond with the Ameen of the malaika. So these are the pious servants that were so observant of their dini obligations, dini duties. So therefore it is important that if a person wants to restrain his carnal self, subjugate his carnal desires to the dictates of deen, and focus on the akhirat, the everlasting life, then it is important that the person undergoes a change of mahol, change of environment, going to the company of pious people, spend some time, sacrifice the luxuries and comforts of home, go out in the path of Allah for a few days. In that way too, you'll be spending time in the company of pious people. Then inshallah, this type of transformation can come into our lives. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq and give us the ability and the strength to spend time by sacrificing our luxuries and going out in the company of the pious people, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.